Amen. Amen. Hey, Club 56, you guys are welcome to head off to your class. Pastor Dane forgot to dismiss you. So if you're in fifth and sixth grade, you're welcome to head off there. He, not my problem, man. Welcome to New Life. My name's Ethan. I'm the youth pastor here. I'm starting this service off a little different than I did last. I feel such heaviness on my soul for you guys in our congregation. I spent the last in-between service, we had like 20, 30 minutes just in prayer. And I just feel this weight of identity in here. I feel this weight of church hurt in here. And I believe that the Spirit today is going to set a lot of us free from some chains that have been holding us, from some lies that we've been told. And so, you guys close your eyes and hold your hands out like this. I do this with our youth all the time, from time to time, I should say. And I'm just going to ask you to repeat after me. Holy Spirit, fill my heart. Break down these walls. Pour out your spirit afresh in me. Thank you, Jesus. Amen. All right. All right. Now we can get back to what my iPad's telling me to say. Pastor Dane said we're going through a series through Jesus's I am statements. He said a multitude of these, but we're focusing on the main seven, the big seven. And the reason why we're doing such a big series on this and why we're focusing on this, because the phrase I am, back in the biblical times, back in the times of Exodus, there was Moses and the Israelite people were enslaved in Egypt, right? And God calls Moses through a burning bush and says, "Yo, I want you to go to Pharaoh and say, set my people free." And after some debate, crazy, crazy debating God through a burning bush. Like, that's blows my mind. After some debate, Moses is like, "Fine, I'll do it. But if they ask of your name, what shall I tell them?" And God replies, "I am that I am." And so this term, I am, in the Jewish community has been associated with God and God alone, right? And so the reason why Jesus, when he makes these seven I am statements, he's proclaiming his deityship as being God, right? Which he is. This ruffled the feathers of the Pharisees, and ultimately these statements are the driving factor for the Pharisees to plot to have him killed. And so today we are focusing on the statement, "I am the good shepherd." Everybody say, "I am the good shepherd." What is one job that no matter how down bad you are for money, you ain't doing? Think about this. There's a lot of jobs out there. There's a lot of jobs out there. There's some nice, comfy, cushy jobs, and then there's some jobs where you're like, "Yeah, I don't know. I need money. You know, I need to pay rent, but I don't need it that bad." You know what I mean? You know, you guys ever thought that way about a certain job? Before I became a pastor, I had multiple what you call blue collar jobs. I like working with my hands. I like physical labor. I threw tires and did tires at Big O. I painted cabinets and built cabinets. I did factory work, construction for a different season. Like, I just like working with my hands, right? In fact, having this office job, right? My office is right behind this door. Having this office job And being naturally just wanting to work and do physical labor with your hands is like, it drives me crazy sometimes, okay? Every month or so, I'm rearranging my office. I'm doing different things. The other day, I just built a table out of old broken scraps that we had here in the church to preach from in youth. It's pretty sweet. It's really raggedy, and it wiggles and wobbles all the time. It's super awesome. It's safe. It's all right. I'm the only one using it. It's all right. It's all right. But it drives, you know, I have to work with my hands. And so I'll do anything, and I'll really work any job if it means I need to provide for my family. There's just a lot of jobs out there that would be a hard yes for me to say, you know, like cleaning porta potties. I don't know about you. Who in here is like, yeah, I would love to clean a porta potty. Yeah, that's exactly what I thought. Yeah, this guy. I'm sorry. cleaning crime scenes is also a hard yes for me to do. Anything to do with like human waste is kind of like, I have a fear of needles. I can't do like anything a nurse does or a CNA does. Like, shout out to all my CNAs out there. Y'all way stronger than I am. I couldn't do it. Like, my wife just had our wonderful, beautiful baby boy, Malcolm. He's 8 months old. Bro, I feel terrible for her. She was going through some stuff, man, and I couldn't do it. I was like, oh, man, I'm so sorry. Go ahead, use the epidural. I don't, get me out. I can't do it. It's just there's some hard jobs out there that would be anything dealing with that. But for some of us, those kinds of jobs are no big deal, right? And for others, the line is actually even further back. Like, I wouldn't even get near that. But for all of us, there are some jobs that would just be hard for us to do. And back in Jesus' time, the shepherd was one of those jobs. All right? A shepherd didn't spend much time with people. In fact, they were outcasts. They hung out around gross sheep and animals all day. They barely showered. Well, I didn't think they had showers back then anyways. But they didn't clean themselves. They would go long stretches with eating very little food, right? And not only that, but it would be like a regular occurrence that they had to fight off predators that would try to kill their sheep. David was one of a shepherd boy. David was a shepherd boy. And he fought off what? A lion? Right before he went and conquered Goliath? Like, come on. That's scary. I couldn't face a lion right now. That's terrifying. Right? But that was the job. That was the job. And Jesus making this statement of, I am the good shepherd, opens up a relatable aspect to him, right? Because he is choosing to acknowledge a group that was typically ignored, typically outcasted. And not only was he acknowledging them, but he was accounting himself alongside of them. I am the good shepherd. But what is a shepherd? And what makes a shepherd good at what he does? Today, I believe Scripture is going to teach us what Jesus means by being the good shepherd and how he is using that to call us home. So if you have your Bibles, open it up to John chapter 10. Everybody say John chapter 10. Awesome. We're going to read seven verses, verse 11 through 18. And it reads, I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd lays down his life for the sheep. He who is a hired hand and not a shepherd, who does not own the sheep, sees the wolf coming and leaves the sheep and flees. And the wolf snatches them and scatters them. He flees because he's a hired hand and cares nothing for the sheep. I am the good shepherd. I know my own and my own know me. Just as the Father knows me and I know the Father, and I lay my life down for the sheep. I have other sheep that are not of this fold, and I must bring them also, and they will listen to my voice. So there will be one flock, one shepherd. For this reason, the Father loves me, because I lay my life down, that I may take it up again. No one takes it from me, but I lay it down on my own accord. I have authority to lay it down, and I have authority to take it up again. This charge I have received from my Father. So in seven verses, Jesus doubles down and says, I am the good shepherd. So the question being, What does a good shepherd do? What qualities does a good shepherd have? And so my first point is a good shepherd guides. Everybody say a good shepherd guides. A good shepherd guide. If you got your Bibles, Psalm 23 verses 1 through 3 says, "The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside still water. He restores my soul. He leads me in paths of righteousness for his name's sake." What does he do? He guides, he leads, he guides, he leads. A good shepherd guides. I don't know if you guys know this, but sheep are idiots. Right? You got fainting goats out here, bro. Jump out at them. Sheep are not smart. In fact, they will stay in one place and eat and eat and eat and eat and eat until all the grass is gone. And then once it's all gone and they have nothing but dirt, they will just stay there and starve. That's what they do. And any shepherd of any value leads his sheep to green pastures to eat a fresh new grass. Now, during this journey of being led to a new pasture, the sheep's only focus is typically, when's the next time I'm going to eat? Or this terrain is rocky and not grass, or this is not, you know, we're not there yet. And they're focused on that. Yet, the sheep trust the shepherd's guidance and where he's leading. Sometimes we can be like the sheep. Sometimes we can be so focused on our current situation in front of us. Broken relationships. Financial trouble. Hurt. Sin. Addictions. Anxiety. The past. We're focused on the dead, rocky soil in front of us. And we don't know what to do. And then Jesus, being the good shepherd, wants to lead us to a greener pasture. But in that season of leading, sometimes the grass isn't green always. Are you willing to follow and trust the shepherd to where he is leading you? Because he has a plan. He's got a place in mind. He says, "I'm going to take you from here, and I'm going to bring you over here. We're going to have to cross some rivers and do some things, but this is going to be the good spot for you." If you're willing to trust him, if you're willing to follow him, a good shepherd not only leads and guides his flock to safety, but he also provides for his flock. Psalms 23, we're going to read the whole one. Psalms 23, "The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside still waters. He restores my soul. He leads me in the paths of righteousness for his namesake. Even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil. For you are with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. You anoint my head with oil. My cup overflows. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I shall dwell in the house of the Lord forever." The good shepherd provides. The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. He provides in abundance. We have a great pasture to eat from and to rest in. We're sitting beside still water to drink from. Right? Even in the hard times, even in the valleys, even in the shadow of death, we don't have to fear because he provides comfort and safety for his flock. Even in the presence of my enemies, those who despise me, those who hate me, those who talk down to me, those who talk behind my back, he makes us feel welcomed. He makes us feel comforted. He makes us feel seen. This is the good shepherd. He provides for his flock. You are valued by God. You're valued. You know, Matthew 6:26 says, look at the birds of the air. They do not sow or reap or store away in barns, yet your heavenly Father feeds them. What does it say? Are you not much more valuable than they? You're valued. You're loved. If he feeds the birds of the air, he will do abundantly more to you who is valued above. John 10:27-28. My sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me. I give them eternal life, and they will never perish, and no one will snatch them out of my hand. Not only does the good shepherd provide for your earthly, provide for your now, provide for whatever you're dealing with here, but he takes care of eternity. He takes care of eternity for you. He took our spot and offered us eternal life through him. Pastor Dane preached about the door last week. Through him only we can have eternity. The good shepherd provides that for us. And when we walk with him, when we follow our good shepherd, he will not let us go. No one can snatch us out of his hands because he protects us. You read this, they will never perish, and no one will snatch them. No one will snatch you out of your Father's hand. Do you hear this? No wolf is too big. No situation too grand. You're walking with God. Good shepherd provides, but he also protects his flock. That's my third point. Good shepherd protects. John 10:11-13 says, I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd lays down his life for the sheep. He who is a hired hand and not a shepherd, who does not own the sheep, sees the wolf coming and leaves and flees. And the wolf snatches them and scatters them. He flees because he's a hired hand and cares nothing for the sheep. Church, let me tell you, since the dawn of creation, since God formed the heavens and the earth and man in his image and he breathed life into him, since the dawn, God's perfect will was for him as creator to walk and reside with his creation. That was his will. But man, disobeying, brought sin into this earth. And in doing so, we had cut ties, cut our connection from God. Because he's a good and holy and perfect God. He cannot be near imperfection like we are. And so, us as creation are left with this void, this emptiness, a longing for something more, our Creator. And we try to fill this void with earthly and worldly things. We try to follow worldly shepherds like influencers and friends and relationships and money and drugs and sex and jobs and status and whatever you could find to try and fill this void. But they're all hired hands from the world. And so as soon as trouble arises, they're gone. You come down from that high. Your money runs out. Your friends can leave you. Relationships can end. It doesn't matter. If we fill this void with earthly hired hands, we are left alone when the wolf comes. And you're stuck facing it by yourself. But Jesus is the good shepherd. He is not a hired hand. Are you hearing this? He is not a hired hand. He loved us so much that even in our time of need, even in our sin, even in our hurt, he laid his life down for us. John 10, 15 says, I know the Father and the Father knows me and I lay my life down for the sheep. It says, even while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. That's not a good shepherd, man. I don't know what is. What I like about this is not in my notes. If you read verse 11, it says, I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd lays his life down for the sheep. Not my sheep. Not my own little group that I decided, the sheep. And then he goes on to saying here in verse 16, I have other sheep that are not in this fold. I must bring them. They will also listen to my voice, and so there will be one flock and one shepherd. Jesus didn't just die for you. He didn't just die for you or your husband or your wife or your kid that's sitting in the chair next to you, but he died for your neighbor. He laid his life down for that coworker that you really despise. It's not just this new life sheep. It's the world. It's the world's sheep. And he not only laid his life down for us, but he is fighting that wolf for us. It says in Deuteronomy 20, verse 4, for the Lord your God is he who goes with you to fight for you against your enemies to give you victory. He's fighting for you. He's facing that wolf. And guess what? He's already won that battle so that you can step out in victory with him. I'm going to have the worship team come up. I don't know your guys' situation. I'm not privy to this. I'm not God. I'm not all-knowing. I know what I've been through. I know hurt that I've caused. I've come up here and I've felt on my soul that there's a lot of church hurt. There's a lot of hurt from people, identity. I don't know the things that you've used to try to numb the pain that you have. I don't know the lies that you've been told. I don't. But I know God is a good shepherd. And guess what? There's this story in Luke chapter 15 about a good shepherd. Jesus is telling this. That there's a shepherd at the end of his day standing on a hillside in the grass. And he's counting his sheep. 1, 2, 3, 10, 20, 30, 40, 50, 60, 70, 80, 90. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9. Wait a minute. I can't be right. I may have miscounted. Let me recount here in 10, 20, 30, 40, 50, 60, 70, 80, 90. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. No, that's right. I should have 100 sheep here, and yet I'm only counting 99. And so this good shepherd, leaving his 99 sheep on the hillside in safety, goes and tracks his steps back. And he's searching between rocks and trees. He's going into bushes, and he sees his sheep laying down in a cavern, lost, alone, afraid. And he picks up his sheep, and he puts it around his neck, and he is walking back to his flock, celebrating because he had found the one. Amen. He had found the one. My sheep has returned. Jesus is that good shepherd, and at one point, we were all that sheep. We were all that one. In our lowest, maybe you're that one now. Maybe you don't know why you stepped in here. You just felt a drawing to come. Maybe you're that one now. Where you were once with the flock, and yet you walked away and wandered. Now you're lost and alone and by yourself. Jesus, the good shepherd. Amen. He's walking. He's searching. He sees you. And he's ready to take you home. He's ready to pick you up and to put you on my shoulders and say, child, it's okay. I'm here. There's no need to fear anymore. But the question is, are you ready to come home? Are you ready? He's not going to force you to love him. He loves you even while you're still in this pit. I'm going to end here. And I'm going to give it. There should be a response. I always believe if you hear God's word, there should be two responses, one of two responses. Repentance, a time of repentance. God, I messed up. I've fallen low. Forgive me. Or a time of celebration and praise. Standing up and saying, God, you fill my cup until it overflows and your mercies and your goodness walk with me. I feel like we should all respond today. So I'm going to pray. Bow your heads and close your eyes. God, your spirit is so evident in this room today, this morning. And Lord, you know the situation of each in every person that has stepped through these doors today. And your spirit is already breaking down the walls. And there's that tugging on their heart and that wind in their stomach. And that is your spirit moving. So Lord, today, forgive us. Close any distance that we have between you and us. Fill that gap. We're ready to come home. We love you, Jesus. In your name we pray. Amen. If you guys need a time to respond, time's now.